Jesus begins his journey into the wilderness right after he is baptized. It seems as he's baptized and we learn and everyone else learns, this is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. He is whisked off by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness experience. And then Matthew tells us that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. Well, I've taken the youth to a 30-hour famine. And after 30 hours, they are famished. And when we take them to eat, you would think they hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus's temptations, or the tempter doesn't approach Jesus until after he has fasted. Till after Jesus is in that place of weakness that a fast can create. Fast can create spiritual strength, but physical weakness. And it hits that, and Satan hits that physical weakness when he immediately speaks to the need for food. And he asked Jesus, because Jesus could do it, to turn the stones to bread. That Jesus should see to his bodily needs because he can. And Jesus replies with this need, no, the only thing I need is the word of God. So when that doesn't work, Satan takes him to another place. Satan takes him to that place that we often worry about, that place of safety and taking risks. And that maybe safety and our well-being can be taken care of by God, but we'll take risks and more risks and more risks and tempt God in terms of where does that safety net that God gives us extend to? How far can I go? How can I stretch it? So when Satan tries to do this with Jesus, Jesus' response is not to test God. That's not what I am called to do. So then Satan decides, well, his physical needs didn't do it. His need for safety and well-being didn't do it. Well, maybe his need for power might do that. So remember high mountains? High mountains are those places where you meet God, because that's where Moses met God, that's where Elijah met God. And just last week we talked about the transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured on a high mountain. Satan takes him up to a high mountain and says, look at this world I can give you. And Jesus' response to the gift of power is no. Jesus' response to the gift of a temporary kingship is no. That the only worship he will do is the worship of the Lord his God and serve only him. Satan was trying through personal physical need, our need for safety, and sometimes our need, our human need for power, control, authority, is all about us. And he tried to turn Jesus to think not about his call into the world, his call to save the world, his call to serve God, his call to the other. He tried to turn Jesus to look for his own well-being, his own safety, his own personal needs, his human need for power and control. And Jesus said no every single time. So I wondered, why did Matthew share these three temptations? What does it say to you and me today? So I thought about that. I thought about what happens to us when we get to that place where we are physically drained, when we have needs and we don't have money in the checking account, or we have needs and we don't have food in the house, when we have needs and our roof is caving in, and we have needs and our clothing is becoming tattered. What choices do we make in this world to meet our physical needs? Are we tempted to do something that is against the will of God so that our needs those needs, those human needs, are met. And I couldn't help but think about another biblical character by the name of Esau. Many of you may know who he is. He was the older brother of Jacob. He was the one to inherit everything in his family. And what did Jacob do for a bowl of red stew? He gave it away. He gave it away. So I ask you today to think about those places, what I talked about in the chapel chatter, where you were giving into things of this world to meet your own personal needs. Not your wants. We're not talking wants here. We're talking needs. Where do you compromise your faith to meet your needs? And if you wonder about that at a particular point, just remember to think about Jesus' words, that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And also think about the scripture that reminds us that God cares about the lilies of the field. God cares about every hair upon our head. If our focus is on our relationship with God, God will provide around us the resources that we can meet those physical needs without compromising our lives of faith. But it is in those places of desperation that sometimes we can be tempted to go in directions that are wrong. So then that second one, that one of safety. How many of you claim to have guardian angels? How many of you claim you've taxed your guardian angel maybe a little bit too many times? So that we begin to think about those places, well, I could do this and I was safe. Let's just take driving, for instance. I text once and nothing happened. I can text again. Or I took this corner at 50. I wonder if I can take it at 60. I wonder if I could take it at 80. Where do we push those limits and test God to see, am I still safe? Am I still safe? Or do we think, as human beings, we are indestructible? You know, I recognize that most teenagers do have that belief, because I did when I was a teenager, that we're indestructible. We can do anything. We can jump from this height. We can jump from that height. And we begin to test God by taking risks that don't make sense for our faith. And Jesus reminds us again, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So when you think that you can do this, you, remember, there's that I word, I can do this, that we don't do anything without the hand of God assisting us. And at some point, we might be going beyond where God can go. There was a movie, but you didn't expect that. Ghost Rider. In Ghost Rider, he's a man who sells himself to the devil because he makes a bargain for his father's health. And we watch him take risk after risk after risk, and his life is saved by the devil until he realizes that his gift, or his choice, was not a selfish choice, was a choice to save his father. And it gets turned around. But all I could think about was when he jumped those helicopters with his motorcycle. When are we thinking we can jump helicopters with our motorcycles? And to realize it was Satan that was in control of that jump, not God and not the man. So when you look at the choice before you and you know it's jumping helicopters, pray. Because that's not what you need to be doing. But then there's that last test, that very high mountain, that place of power and wealth and success. And how many of us strive to get to that place where we feel that we might be the authority, or we might be the one in the know, or we have finally got the job and everything is wonderful, and we begin to compromise. We become tempted, again, tempted to believe that the stuff of the world is the prize that we want. And we watched Wall Street fall. We watched people go into jail because they believed that they could do anything just to get rich. So when we get tempted to believe that the goals of this earth and this life are to be so successful, to have everything that we want, that I want, whose kingdom are we worshiping? Are we worshiping Satan's kingdom of this world, or are we worshiping God in the kingdom of heaven and earth? This is not a statement of we can't acquire wealth. This is not a statement of we can't become experts in our field. It's a statement of where our hearts are. Are our hearts in that? And we believe that that is the be-all to end-all of our life. Or is that the means through which God can use us to transform the world? Which kingdom is the kingdom for us? The kingdom of heaven and of earth, or the kingdom of the world? Satan's kingdom. Think about King David and how much he fell from grace because he got caught up in his worldly kingdom. But also remember King David and when he came to the altar and confessed that sin, God blessed that repentance. So Jesus' three temptations for us are reminders that even in those places when we're really low, God is there. Don't choose anyone but God. In the world, make your choices not for risks and danger, but make your choice for God. And in that life of success, to think about that place when we think we have it all, that if it isn't all for God, then our priorities are out of alignment, out of justification with the Lord. So during this time of Lent, as we begin this first Sunday, we begin it seeing Jesus receiving the same temptations that we receive every day in life and showing us the way to move towards grace and forgiveness. So my prayer for you is that during this time that we call Lent, we may look at very carefully what we're giving into and give into God and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks, praise, and glory for your love and kindness shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us this Lenten season to truly prepare our hearts for fellowship with you. Amen. Our hymn, our sending.